Hello and welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd and back for another episode of the podcast. And today I titled this podcast Deep Sleepers, but I'll talk about that in a second. I don't know if that's really necessarily an accurate title because of my thoughts on the term sleeper, but I'll get into that in a second. There's a few like housekeeping things I want to get into first off. And if you are watching this live on YouTube, welcome. And as I'm talking, if you've got any questions, tweet them through to me at redrock_bball. Anything you want me to bring up or clarify as the show is going along, let me know. And a few things I want to touch on housekeeping-wise. I don't bring this up very often. I don't mention it very often because I feel probably a little bit uncomfortable doing it. But I've had a few people ask and a few people donate some money over the last week or so. And thank you to those guys who've done that. But if you do like the podcast and you do want to contribute something to helping it grow and helping it stay on the air, there is a button on the website, a PayPal button, where you can donate money. You don't have to. Obviously, everything is still going to be free and still going to keep going. But if for some reason you want to throw $2 my way, $1 my way, $5, $1 million, whatever it is, it's always greatly appreciated and always helps to keep going with server costs and equipment costs and all that sort of stuff that's needed to run the show. So just thought I'd mention that. I'm not going to mention it all the time, probably won't mention it for the rest of the year, but just throw that out there. If anyone was looking for a way to help support the podcast, there is a PayPal donate button on the website. Next thing I wanted to talk about is a new website that I am going to be a part of. It's called All-Star 5, so allstar5.com. It's a website that involves five fantasy basketball analysts, myself, Matt Smith, who you know from the podcast, Mark Roberts from the podcast as well, who also works at RotoWire, Seth Klein, who's on the podcast and writes at Razzball, amongst other places, and Joe Mamone, who is from Hashtag Basketball. He's the guy who's setting most of this up. It's a website basically where we're looking at developing a platform to enable questions to be asked to five guys at once. It's a little bit of an interesting, interesting idea that Joey's come up with. Head across to allstar5.com, have a look what's there, and basically just register your interest. If this is something you might be interested in, it's something that might tickle your fancy or be helpful for you in fantasy leagues. It's allstar5.com. Head across there and just let us know. Let us know what you think, whether it's something that you might be interested in. Okay, the next thing I want to talk about, listener leagues, Red Rock listener leagues. Yeah, I say leagues. You probably heard me talk about it because there's going to be a lot. There are going to be 12 Red Rock listener leagues this year, 12 teams each for a total of 144 people for those of you who may have struggled with the math involved there. The idea behind it is I want to get as many people in as possible. And what we're going to do is at the end of this season, the winners of all of the leagues, so whoever wins all 12 leagues, then next season will form a Champions League style league, which will have the winner from each of the 12 leagues in it, and we'll go like that from year to year. I think it's a bit of a novel concept. What we'll also do this year is each person who wins their league, then we have an overall winner between the top 12 leagues, and that winner is the person who has the best overall record. All of these leagues will be head-to-head leagues. They'll be on ESPN. There'll be eight category leagues. I'm working on some prizes and that at the moment, and that'll come through throughout the year. And anyone who wins their league will also get an opportunity to come on the podcast and have a bit of a segment on the show at some point after the leagues are done, obviously, because that's when we determine the winners. But that's something that we're doing now. I've sent out emails to a stack of people already. There are, how many? There are 11 spots left at the moment. Still got a few people that are interested, haven't decided on the final 11 spots. Got plenty of applications, but if you haven't applied to get into the listener league yet, please send me in an email to redrockfantasybasketball@gmail.com. Tell me whether you want to be in it. So there's only 11 spots left. Get involved, get amongst it, and see if you can get yourself into one of those last spots in the listener leagues. People have been going. I've been sending the emails out. Everyone's excited about it so far. I think it's going to be, it's an interesting concept. It's going to be maybe a little bit of work for me. I am going to have a fair few people helping me out with running the league, so that's going to be helpful. But 12 leagues, 12 teams, lots of people, trying to get as many people as involved as I can. So if you want to be involved in the league, make sure you send me that email, and we'll see what we can do to get you into one of the remaining spots. Last, or a couple more plugs before we get into the bulk of this show. Me and Matt Smith co-hosted the Fantasy Hoops Insider podcast a couple of days ago, so make sure you check that out. They're at Fantasy Hoops Pod on Twitter, and we actually, Matt hosted the show, and I was his guest, so you can check out that sort of reverse dynamic that we had. So go and check out that podcast. And just giving you a bit of a timeline of what's going to be happening over the next couple of weeks. I've got a few guests lined up. Mark Roberts is going to be coming on next week, and we're going to talk rookies. Matt Smith is going to be coming on again next week. We're going to be doing dynasty stuff. We're going to be talking about our top 100 dynasty rankings, each of us comparing notes, talking about the players we've got on that, plus some other things regarding dynasty. And even the pod with Mark Roberts will be have a lot of dynasty talk in it as well. So if you're in dynasty leagues, the next week of Red Rock Basketball is going to have a lot of stuff for you. The following week, Jeff Stotts from RotoWire, who's on Twitter at RotoWireATC. He's an injury expert. He's going to be coming on the podcast. We're going to be talking all things injuries, injury histories, injury-prone guys, guys coming off injuries, anything injury-related. Obviously, there'll be lots of tweets and Facebook stuff sent out about all these podcasts, but just be aware that the next couple of weeks, we're going to have an injury-specific podcast happening. And then I'm going to have a couple of guests come on for the next two podcasts after that that aren't necessarily fantasy guys, but they're very, very knowledgeable basketball people, and I think that they can bring a little bit of something to you and to your understanding of the game and of fantasy basketball as well. The first one is Mika Honkasalo, who writes at Nylon Calculus, which is, if you don't know, is a great, really stats-driven, stats-based website as part of the Hardwood Paroxysm Network. So Mika's going to be coming on. We're going to be talking basketball. We don't know exactly what. And then the podcast after that, Danny LaRue from Real GM will be coming on as well. And Danny is, I met Danny out in Vegas at Summer League. He was a fantastic guy to talk to. He hosts the Real GM podcast, and he co-hosts the Dunked On podcast with Nate Duncan as well. So they're the guests that are coming up over the next couple of weeks. So keep an eye out for all those shows. All right, we're done. That was a lot of stuff to talk about before we get into the bulk of the show, into the meat, get the meat off the bones of this show. Now, what I wanted to talk about, I said I titled this podcast Deep Sleepers, but I get this question all the time. Every time I go, you know, what kind of shows do you guys want? I say, I want to hear your sleepers, Josh. I want to hear your sleepers. Well, you know what? At this point of the year, it is really hard to say who's going to be a sleeper because drafts haven't started. We don't know where guys are going to be picked. I could go out and say that Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be a sleeper, and then he comes out and his average draft position is 40. And then you know what? He's not a sleeper anymore. So until the Yahoo ranks come out, the ESPN ranks come out, and we get our first lot of ADP data from both of those big sites, then I'll really be able to knock it down and go, you know what? This guy's ranked, you know, 50 spots higher than what he should be. He could be a sleeper. He's coming in at 150, he's an ADP of 150, but I think he's going to be a top 70 guy. That's when I can really start knocking down sleepers all over the place. You know, second round sleepers, fourth round sleepers, that sort of stuff. At this point, we've just got no idea where people are going to go. I can give you what my thoughts are on where people are going to go, but my rankings don't necessarily add up with the general populace's thought process on where everyone's going to be drafted. So I could say, yeah, I think that DeMar DeRozan's going to be a sleeper. And then he has an ADP of 30, and then he's not a sleeper. It's very sleeper is very very dependent on what everybody else values in the mat. And at this point, I don't know what everybody else values in the mat. Now, in terms of this podcast being for deep sleepers, again sleepers, I'm using deep sleepers, Dr. Evil style. What I was looking at is people who finished outside of the top 150 for last season in per game value. So guys who really didn't have a spot as a solid player on majority of, say, 12-team league teams. So all these guys that, you know, they outside the top 150, so they weren't staples. They weren't drafted necessarily in leagues. And these are guys who I think can jump up and can potentially become top 100, top 110 type of guys, which would make them sleepers. Now, again, we don't know. I don't know what their ADP is going to be at this point. It's way too early for that sort of thing. But they're guys outside the top 150 who at this point in time, at this juncture with everything that's happened or hasn't happened, they're guys that I think are going to end up inside that top 100, 110 sort of range. Okay, now that I've explained all of that, let's start talking about these players. I'm sure that's what you came to listen to. The first guy I want to talk about is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope from the Detroit Pistons. He was a guy that was up and down last season. He's back end of the season post All-Star. He ended up ranking 133. He was 153 for the season. But the main thing that I got from Caldwell-Pope's season last season was Stan Van Gundy trusted him. He let him get out there. He played 32 minutes. He started every game, 82 games. And he shot the ball 12 attempts a game. Now, he didn't shoot it well, but it didn't stop Van Gundy from going, you know what, you're our shooting guard. You're going to go out there and shoot. It was his second season. He got over 12.5 points a game and almost two triples, over a steal, over three rebounds. The thing that hurts him a lot is his percentages. 40 from the field, 70 from the line, 35 from the three-point line. As a second-year guy going into his third year, now we can expect some of that to improve. Maybe a 2 or 3% improvement on his free throws. Maybe a 2 or 3% improvement on his field goals. Maybe a 1 or 2% improvement on his three-point percentage. And then we see his numbers go to 15, you know, 2.2 threes, maybe 4 rebounds, maybe 1.3 steals, because he is a good defender. He's a great defender, in fact. I think that he's in line for a really, really big season. I don't think there's anyone who's taking minutes off him. Stanley Johnson was drafted. He's going to play the three most likely. Jody Meeks, he was there last year, and he didn't impact KCP. I know he had the back problem, but even when he came back, KCP was the guy for Detroit at the two. We might see a situation that maybe when Brandon Jennings comes back, Brandon Jennings and Reggie Jackson share the backcourt a little bit, but I think that Caldwell Pope is going to get those same minutes, maybe more, maybe even a minute more, and I think his production rises to be a guy that in the last round of drafts, he's someone that I definitely would be looking at targeting at this early juncture. So Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is my first guy in my list of super deep sleepers. The next guy I want to talk about is Donatas Motiejunas, who finished last season as 156th ranked player. I really love Motiejunas. I think he's a really, really intriguing fantasy prospect. He ended the stretch pretty well last year, 123rd in head-to-head ranks. He was 67th in roto value post All-Star break. We all know that he got shut down with that back problem though, so that is obviously not ideal for a big man, but there's no reason to think that he's going to be hampered heading into next season. The Rockets also lost Josh Smith, who a guy who was playing a lot of the four last season, so he's going to have Terrence Jones to battle, which is fine. I think Motiejunas is the starter. I think that if he's healthy, he starts over Terrence Jones. He was putting up some really impressive numbers down the stretch last season when he was getting the minutes. Dwight Howard is not exactly Mr. Durable. Terrence Jones isn't exactly Mr. Durable either. Behind them, we've got Joey Dorsey. We've got Clint Capella, who I do really like. But I think that Motiejunas, he averaged 13.5 points after the All-Star break. He hit over a three a game, almost six rebounds, well, not almost, 5.5 rebounds. He got over a steal, half a block, a really bad free throw shooter, but a nice field goal shooter, shooting 51% for the season. He's a guy who I've got no problem looking at him after pick 100. He was a guy that, yeah, he really started to crank things up towards the end of the season, and I look for him to continue it again. You know, even if he gets off the bench and plays 27 minutes, I think that he can be a late round guy. So I really do like Donatas Motiejunas. This one might seem obvious to people, but I'm going to mention it anyway. Mason Plumlee was from the Brooklyn Nets, now at the Portland Trailblazers. He was 162nd last year in head to head value. In Roto, he's a lot worse, 246 last season. He was absolutely dreadful after the All-Star break, ranking 272nd. He really, really struggled. But he's in Portland now, who lost their starting center, who lost basically their whole team. There are some other guys that he's got to compete with there. I'm not going to deny that. Ed Davis is over in Portland, who'll play some center minutes. Myers Leonard is over there, who'll play some center minutes. But I think that Plumlee will be the starting center, and he'll play 30 minutes. And that's that should be enough for him to become standard league relevant for head-to-head leagues. Roto leagues, the free throw percentage is bad. He shot less than 50% last year, but what he is a guy who can get bulk points. He can get not bulk points because he's got no offensive game at all, but he's a guy who dunks, and I think that with Lillard drawing so much attention, maybe he's going to be available for some dump-offs and alley-oops and that sort of thing. He could get you 12 to 13 points in 30 minutes. He averaged 8.5 in 21 minutes, so if we take that out to 30, we're looking at about 12 points, but he can also get you maybe 10 or 11 rebounds a game. He is an aggressive rebounder. He can block some shots. He was at 0.8 steals and 0.8 blocks in 21 minutes. Again, that's, you know, 1.3, 1.4 of each of those. if he's playing 30 minutes a game. The assists are basically non-existent, but that's fine. We get big steals from him, big for a center, good blocks, big field goal percentage. He was a huge field goal percentage guy in 2013-14. So there's a lot of value there. A 12 and 10 sort of guy, that's not horrible for pick 100. So I think that Mason Plumlee will be the starter in Portland, and he will get a fairly decent shot to become a relevant fantasy guy. Just roto leagues, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to rely upon him because of that poor free throw percentage that he puts out there. The next guy that I want to look at is Yusuf Nurkic. Now, if you listened to me at all on the podcast last season, I hope you did. And if you didn't, welcome. I love Yusuf Nurkic. I was a huge Yusuf Nurkic fan. He was 184th last season. But when the Nuggets fired my mate Brian Shaw and brought in Melvin Hunt, Nurkic fell out of favor, and I don't really understand why. Because I thought Nurkic was able to put up, he was able to put up some great numbers when he was able to avoid the pitfalls that were Brian Shaw's rotation and minutes, and when he was able to stay out of foul trouble. Now, foul trouble, I can't blame Shaw for. I can't blame Melvin Hunt for. But he was troubled by fouls. But he's a big man. He's a rookie. That's going to happen. Those foul numbers are going to come down. His per 36 numbers for the season, 14 points, 12.5 rebounds, 1.7 steals, 2.2 blocks. They're big numbers. They're very big numbers. I can't see him not getting decent minutes. Yes, yes, the Nuggets brought over Nikola Jokic. Yes, Joffrey LaVerne is there as well. But if Nurkic is healthy from his knee, which is a bit of an if at the moment, he will be the starter. And he will play, if fouls allow him, 27, 28 minutes. And he was able to put up bulk stats, big numbers. I've got to stop saying bulk. He's able to put up big numbers in the time that he was on the court. He could be a guy who gets 2 blocks a game, gets 11 rebounds a game, gets 15 points a game, shoots an okay field goal percentage, and gets some steals. He's going to be like Mason Plumlee, but better in my opinion, because he's a slightly better free throw shooter. He's not a good free throw shooter. He had 64% last year, but it's better than the 49.5% that Plumlee shot. I really like Yusuf Nurkic. I don't know if he's going to be a sleeper. I think a lot of other people will be on him, and he'll probably have an ADP around the 100 to 110 mark. But there's no reason why he couldn't be like a top 70, top 80 guy when the season really starts kicking off and we get into December, November, December, assuming he's healthy. We don't know that yet. That's something that remains up in the air and could become an issue, but I do like him. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist ranked 186th last season for the year. But the sneaky thing about MKG is post All-Star break, he was the 109th ranked player in head-to-head fantasy leagues. Everyone bags Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. What a bust. Number 2 pick. It's wrong. It's just wrong. He is not a bust. He is a very, very, very good NBA defender. He is one of the elite perimeter defenders. He's a good rebounder. And he's actually improved his game every single season, which is all you can ask for guys like this. His shooting has improved. Okay, MKG can't shoot, but he shot 47% last year. And that's not from dunk, so it's not Mason Plumlee style. This is from improving his mid-range. Now, he's not going to hit threes. He's not even going to attempt a three. And that's okay. I can live with it as long as your team's built around that or you're punting threes or whatever. But 47% from a small forward, 70% from the line is okay. 11 points, 7.5 rebounds. And the thing with Kidd-Gilchrist is there is immense potential for him to start putting up steal and block numbers. He's such a good defender, but half a steal and 0.7 blocks aren't good. There's no reason he couldn't be a 1.5 steal, 1 block a game guy. There's no reason for that. It may not happen, but that is the potential for him. So, as I always say, if you're in a standard league and you once the pick number goes past triple digits and you're picking in the hundreds, take a flyer on a guy. Kidd-Gilchrist is that guy who, if he goes near 12-8 with 1.5 steals, 1.2 blocks, a 47% shooting, 73 from the line, that's really good value. Now he's gonna have to compete with newly acquired Nick Batum, but they lost Gerald Henderson, they lost Lance Stevenson. There are minutes there on the wing available in Charlotte for him, and they love his defense that much. He's not going to be shunted out of the rotation. He is going to get minutes as that defensive stopper. The rebounds will be there. And we just got to hope. It's a bit of a long shot, maybe. Hope that those defensive numbers start coming up, because once they do, the fantasy value will start flowing. Talking about another defensive guy and another Portland Trailblazer, newly acquired Portland Trailblazer, Al-Farouq Aminu last season was the 192nd ranked player while he was in Dallas. He was 149th post-All-Star break, and his value is predicated on his ability to get defensive numbers. In just 19 minutes a game last year, he got 0.9 steals and 0.8 blocks. If we take that up to 30 minutes a game, we're talking 1.7, 1.6, those sort of numbers for steals and blocks. He was a 5.6 points, 4.6 rebounds. He's a brutally bad three-point shooter, but at least he takes them for fantasy and hits some of them. He hit half a three a game in his 19 minutes. Could he be a 14-8 guy with 1.5 steals, 1.5 blocks? Maybe. Could he give you 0.7 threes? Yeah. And the Blazers, we said they've lost all these guys. Someone has to play the three. He can play the three. Someone's going to play the four. There's going to be him there, Vonleh there, Myers Leonard there, Ed Davis. But they gave him a contract, which on the surface, and we heard Jared Dudley talk about it on the Zach Lowe Low Post podcast, that when Aminu signed, that he was like, really? Looks like there's going to be a lot of money around if Aminu's getting this. And Zach Lowe said the same of people he'd been talking to. Everyone's gone, really, Aminu's getting this much money? So they gave him a lot of money. They must see something there. I see a lot in Aminu. I think he's a great defensive guy and great at these defensive stats. And that can be a real interesting thing for fantasy. If he gets locked in as a starter, they go, you know what, we're starting him at the three. We're playing him 30 minutes. We're going to get nights where he gets 10, 11 rebounds a game, when he gets two blocks, three steals, and just goes off full James Johnson on us and puts up these numbers, except he's going to have a bigger role than James Johnson. So I do like Al-Farouq Aminu to really jump up in terms of his ranks. And again, if you're looking at the last pick in the draft, fantastic value. Now, I'm sort of preempting one of the listener questions that I've got at the end of this show when I talk about the next guy, and that's Ersan Ilyasova, who headed across to Detroit in a trade for basically nothing. He was 204th ranked last season, post-All-Star 116th. He's an even better Roto guy. He was 70th in Roto post-All-Star, and now he goes to Detroit. He's going to be the starting power forward. He's going to play the Ryan Anderson role for Stan Van Gundy. And this is not hyperbole. This is not an exaggeration. If Ersan Ilyasova ended up inside the top 50 next season, wouldn't be shocked. If he ended up inside the top 40, I wouldn't be shocked. He can go out there and average 16 points. He could average 8 rebounds. He could hit 1.5 threes. He could be a massive sleeper. But again, I feel that everybody's going to have this same thought process on Ilyasova. I just don't know where you're going to get him, but I think the value is going to be there. His role is going to increase. The scoring will be good. He's another guy, like Aminu, who had an odd 20-rebound game a couple of seasons ago. Ilyasova, about 3 or 4 seasons ago, had a streak of just 18 boards, 20 boards, 20 points, just pulling down stupid stat lines. He hits the three. He's got a good field goal percentage. His free throw percentage needs a little bit of work, but he hit his threes at 39% last season. 15 and 7 with 1.6 threes. Is not out of the realm of possibility. He could get hot in that Dwight Howard 1-in-4-out type of system with Drummond in the middle. He could go out there and hit 2 triples a game. I think that Ersan Ilyasova is going to have tremendous value. And if I see his ADP come out at something like 120, I'm going to be smashing him in basically every league that I'm in, because I think that out of all the guys I've mentioned so far, he has got the highest ceiling. He can go right up the rankings if he turns in a big season. Let's go back to Portland. Myers Leonard, who I thought was in line for a massive breakout at the end of the season, he was putting up big, big numbers, even with LaMarcus Aldridge there. He only ranked 209th in head-to-head per game value, but in the playoffs, he was putting up big numbers. And all the talk was that LaMarcus Aldridge was gone. He wasn't going to be back in Portland, and that's what ended up being the case. The problem is, the Blazers then brought in a million guys to play his position. Mason Plumlee, Ed Davis, Noah Vonleh, all these guys, Al-Farouq Aminu, all these guys around there. Now, we don't know who's going to start, and that's an issue with Aminu and with Plumlee, who I mentioned before. But if Leonard starts, there's monstrous value. And this is preempting another listener question I got as well. But he's the only guy in the league. I think he shot 50% from the field. I can check that up. I've got my numbers in front of me. He shot 51% from the field, 42% from three, 94% from the free throw line. He was basically the best shooter in the NBA as a big guy. He hit a three a game in only 15 minutes, 6 points, 4.5 rebounds, and that's where it's going to be. Points, threes from a big man, rebounds, elite percentages, and if you're in a three-point percentage league, you're going to get some big numbers for him. It's all dependent on role. If he gets 27 minutes a game, no doubt he's a standard league guy, no doubt. But how are they going to roll it? Ed Davis, Vonleh, Plumlee, who's going to get the minutes? Really intrigued to see Myers Leonard, because I said they gave him massive minutes. They were giving him minutes over Robin Lopez last year. They'd play him off the bench, and then it was basically Leonard and Aldridge playing for the majority of games in the playoffs. I think they do really like what they saw from him. I think he could be in for a pretty solid role, but there are those other guys, and that means I probably don't want to spend a top 100 pick on him, but 120, somewhere around that point. Second, last two rounds in a 10-team league, last two or three rounds in a 12-team league. Yeah, because he's got the potential to also be like a top 70 sort of guy with the type of numbers that he puts up. The next guy I wanted to talk about is David Lee, who's now headed to Boston. He ranked 211th last season. He was 307th post All-Star game. He was absolutely brutal. We know that he can be a good player, but I think I more wanted to focus on him in that I think people will go crazy for David Lee. I don't think that you're going to be able to draft him with the last pick in a draft. I've seen so many people in forums and stuff right everywhere. David Lee's the big winner from this offseason. He's definitely going to start 32 minutes back to his All-Star numbers. I don't see it. He just wasn't good last season. There was a reason he lost the job to Draymond Green, and it wasn't injury. It was because Draymond is better and because Lee was bad. He is bad. And Boston has so many big guys. They just signed Amir Johnson. Jared Sullinger's there. Tyler Zeller's there. Kelly Olynyk's there. They re-signed Jonas Jerebko. Is David Lee really going to go and play 30 minutes? I don't think so. I don't think he's going to go back out there. He's not going to be 20-10. No, if anyone tells you he's going to be 20-10, then they're insane. 12-6? That might even be a stretch. As I said, there's so many guys in Boston. All this Boston front court is a complete mess. And Brad Stevens, if he sees a complete mess, well, he just likes to make it messier. He's just going to be playing these guys 23 minutes apiece. Who's going to get hot one night? David Lee, to me, I bring him up not because I think he's a sleeper, because everybody is going to think he's a sleeper. Well, that's what I think anyway. And I just don't see it happening. I'll be steering clear of him because, as I said, it wasn't the injury that cost him his job last year. It's the fact that he was bad. And even when he played, he was bad. And there's so many other guys in Boston. So many other guys who are more potentially the future. Sullinger, who we've been hearing a lot of people raving about his work ethic and training in the offseason. Olynyk, who I like a lot. Amir Johnson, who just recently signed. I really like Jonas Jerebko. A lot of other bodies there that I think could be a concern for David Lee's value. Back to Detroit, Marcus Morris, who headed across to Detroit in a bit of a salary dump trade from the Suns to enable them to clear out room to miss out on signing LaMarcus Aldridge. But Marcus Morris is going to be the opening day starter at small forward. I've got pretty much no doubt about that at this point. There's been plenty of quotes and stories come out saying that. Stanley Johnson, yeah, he blew it up in Orlando Summer League, but that doesn't mean that he's going to be the starter and play 33 minutes a night. Marcus Morris, at times last year, looked really solid. At times, he also looked bad. He's going to be given first chance to start at small forward, and I think he can succeed. It's probably more risky than any of these other guys that I've mentioned. As a 222nd ranked player last year, he was not fantastic. But I think he's a guy who can take this starting role, and maybe he only holds it for a couple of seasons. Maybe it's one season, maybe it's half a season. But he can get that 10 points, 1.5 threes, 5 rebounds that he got last year. I think he can improve upon those slightly while Stanley Johnson gets acclimatized. Even if you take Morris with the last pick in your standard league draft, and by January, Stanley Johnson's the starter, maybe you got 2 months worth of standard league value from Morris. And that's your last pick. Who cares? I think he's in for a temporarily bigger role in Detroit than what he had in Phoenix last year. Isaiah Cannon from Philadelphia. We don't have any idea what Philadelphia is doing at point guard this season. Cannon ranked 223rd last year. He was in Houston. He was an afterthought. He got traded to the Sixers in exchange for KJ McDaniels. And once he was in Philadelphia, he was the 106th ranked player in head-to-head leagues post-All-Star break. Yeah, he lost his starting job to Ish Smith, but didn't mean that Isaiah Cannon still didn't have fantasy value, because he did. He hit a stack of threes. In the 20 minutes that he had over the course of the season, he averaged 2 triples a game in just 20 minutes. The time he was in Philadelphia, he averaged 2.7 threes a game, 12.6 points, 3 assists, 0.7 steals, Yeah, he killed your field goal percentage at 38%, but a really nice 85% free throw shooter. Now, we don't know what they're doing at point guard. Ish Smith hasn't been signed. I don't think he's back. Tony Roden is an abortion of a basketball player, so I hope and I cross my fingers that he doesn't get the starting job. The guy to watch out for is Pierre Jackson, who signed his first NBA contract, but he's got no NBA experience. I can see Cannon getting in there. Even if he doesn't start, maybe he plays 26 minutes a game, and maybe he gives you 2.5 threes and 12 points and a couple of assists and a nice free throw percentage. I think people are going to be overlooking him because everyone loves Tony Roten and loves his big counting stats, but Tony Roten is just not good, and they need someone who can shoot, and Roten cannot do that. I think the Cannon's going to have really nice value, and if you sneak him with the last pick of a draft, even if he gives you those 2.5 threes, that's pretty much almost enough to have value at that last pick. So I think that Isaiah Cannon is someone who will be overlooked by some people. One of my fantasy boyfriends is Kylo Quinn, who's gone from the Orlando Magic to the New York Knicks. He was basically ignored in Orlando last season, and I had some conversations with Steve Kyler from Basketball Insiders, who lives in Tampa and knows a lot about the Magic and speaks to a lot of their guys, and they just didn't think that he fit in what the Magic wanted to do, which is odd to me because it seems like all the Magic wanted to do at that stage was lose, and maybe he didn't fit in because Quinn is not a loser. He's a guy with a really high motor. He's wrapped to be going to New York. Now he's going to have to battle with Robin Lopez, with Kristaps Porzingis, and with Derek Williams and Lou Amundsen, but Williams and Amundsen are not much chop. But O'Quinn's a guy that when he started in 2013-14, when Nikola Vucevic went down and he started in place of Tobias Harris next to Nikola Vucevic, he was blocking multiple shots pretty much every game. He can be a two-blocker game guy, not a problem in 25 minutes. In 22 minutes, he could block two shots a game. He can get rebounds. He can actually hit threes. He can score. I really like Kyle O'Quinn. He's probably not a 10-team league flyer, but I'm happy with maybe the last pick in a 12, and definitely in 14-team leagues. I think there's a lot of potential in Kyle O'Quinn. Terrence Ross for the Toronto Raptors was horrible last season. There's no other way of putting it. He was just really, really bad, so much so that his ranking was down at 236th for the season, despite being the starter basically all year. He played all year, 82 games, 26 minutes, averaged less than 10 points a game, almost two triples, but not a lot else. Ross was also battling an ankle injury for a big chunk of the season, and that impacts players more than we like to admit. They did sign Damari Carroll, but Carroll's going to play a lot of four because they lost their four, Amir Johnson, and didn't replace him with anybody. So Carroll's going to split his time between the three and the four. Ross, I think, could continue to start. Now, there is also the possibility that they go DeMar DeRozan at the three and give Norman Powell some minutes at the two, who I did like a lot out in Summer League. But Ross has an opportunity here to really redeem himself. I think that he can be a better player than what he showed last season. He's probably never going to be a guy that jumps into the top 70 or anything like that. But I think we see a bounce back, fully healthy, ankles healed. He's an athletic guy, we know that. He can defend. He's not old. It's his third season in the league. I think there's something to like with Terrence Ross. So don't completely write him off. He is someone to keep an eye on. Rodney Hood, 256th last season, 147th post All-Star break. Yeah, he's going to have to battle Alec Burks, but I really like what I saw from Hood last season. I liked what I saw from him in Summer League, in the Vegas Summer League. No, I didn't see him in Vegas, sorry. In the Utah Summer League when I saw him on TV. But his last couple of months of the season, his last month, 13.5 points, 1.5 threes, 47 and 86 is his percentages. So really, really good shooting numbers. Needs to work on his rebounds. He got a steal a game, so that was pretty good. I think that he's going to have a really solid role as a 30-minute guy, either off the bench or starting. And he's going to put up numbers enough where he has to be owned in standard leagues. And I think that he will be drafted in most leagues. And there's going to be a big improvement from Rodney Hood. And I wouldn't be shocked if he actually started over Alec Burks. Jan Mahinmi in Indiana. We don't know what they're going to do with their front court. Paul George is going to play some four. He's not going to play it full time, though. Miles Turner is the guy to love there. But Mahinmi is a guy who could play 25, 26 minutes as a starting center. He's not a sexy player by any stretch. But a lot of fantasy is who's going to have minutes, who's going to have opportunity. He averaged 6 rebounds a game in less than 19 minutes a game, 0.8 blocks, and a 55% shooter from the field. We take that out to 25 minutes. He could get you 9 rebounds. He could get you 1.5 blocks. He could get you a steal a game. He could get you 9 points. He also shot 31% from the line, so that's not ideal. But Mahinmi could be a guy that, even if it doesn't start and Miles Turner starts, Turner's not going to play 35 minutes a game. Mahinmi's going to get some minutes, and Turner might play some 4 as well. So he's a name to look. Turner's going to be the sexy rookie, the guy that everyone's going to jump on, with good reason, because he's got an absolutely great fantasy game. But Mahinmi's a guy that you might be able to sneak in if you're punting free throws with your last pick in the draft, and it could pay dividends. I think he's someone that I'd be keeping an eye on, or someone I am keeping an eye on, definitely. Omri Caspi from the Sacramento Kings, ranked 271st last season, 196 post All-Star break. But when Rudy Gay was out, he put up some good numbers. I don't know what the Kings are doing just yet with their front court. Are they going to start Cousins at the 4, Willie Cauley-Stein at the 5? Will Rudy Gay play at the 4? Because they did trade away Jason Thompson, who was their nominal starter for most of the year at power forward. We don't know what they're going to do, but there is the possibility that they go with Gay, Caspi, and Cousins as a starting unit. And if that's what happens, Omri Caspi he rockets up 100 spots, I reckon, immediately from that 271 spot, and easily can sneak into that top 120. Whether he sticks there, I don't know, but he's someone to keep an eye on. We've got to see how things play out over preseason, but for now, Omri Caspi is a guy who can hit threes, score, rebound. He's a very, very tall guy. As I said, at Summer League, he's the same size as DeMarcus Cousins when standing next to each other. But he can do a few things. He's a good shooter from the field, from the free throw line as well. So there is some value there from Caspi. Don't expect a huge amount, because there is a bit of a clog of minutes. Well, maybe that's the best. There's just bodies, and we don't know how they're necessarily going to work themselves out. Now, the next guy I want to look at is one of my boyfriends. I've got a few boyfriends in the NBA, Otto Porter. He ranked 301st in head-to-head value per game last season. Paul Pierce is gone. We know that. They brought in Kelly Oubre, who looked lost at times in Summer League. Jared Dudley got brought in as well, but he's had back surgery. He's out for the next couple of months. And we all have to do is look at the playoffs and see what Otto Porter was able to do in the playoffs. His numbers in the playoffs were fantastic. He played off the bench. He didn't need to start, but he put up some really, really impressive performances. He played 33 minutes a game in the playoffs. He averaged 10 points, 8 rebounds, over a steal a game. He hit over a three-pointer a game. He shot 44% from the field. He was a solid guy, not really in his free throws in the playoffs, but in the season, he's generally a pretty good free throw guy at 73%. But I think that he is a guy that if he's going to get these minutes, he can score. The rebounds, we see that. He can get steals. He's a really good defender. He hits some threes. There's a lot of upside in Otto Porter, because I can't see why he's not getting 30 minutes a night in Washington, unless I'm just completely missing something. But he should get 30 minutes a night from day one. And I think he was a number 3 pick 2 years ago. He battled injuries. He battled inconsistency. I think that he's over that. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Otto Porter can do. Another guy who excelled in the playoffs is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trail Blazers. I mentioned a lot of Blazers guys here. He was well down the ranks last year, but he absolutely blew up in the playoffs. He was playing in preference to Aaron Aflalo, because Aaron Aflalo is pretty much not good, as you know my thoughts on Aflalo. But I think that CJ McCollum, he may not start at the 2. I think he should. He may not start at the, well, he's not going to start at point guard, but he's going to play backup 1. He could start at the 2, depending on what Gerald Henderson is up to. But he's had hip surgery as well. McCollum is at this point a definite flyer for the last round of the draft. No doubt in my mind. He did basically nothing last season. In the regular season, 6.8 points, although that's not true. Towards the end of the season, he put up some pretty okay numbers. But in the playoffs, much like Porter, he really started to blow up. He's a guy for the last couple of rounds of your draft who has got a big opportunity, and there's not really many guys who are locks to take his minutes away from him. Said Nick Batum's gone, Aaron Aflalo's gone, Wes Matthews is gone. He's going to play some 2. Gerald Henderson is not a good player. So I think that McCollum could get 28 minutes a game, 30 minutes a game, and really become an interesting piece. Two more guys that I want to touch on that were well down the ranks last year. Dante Exum at 320th in head-to-head ranks. He was poor, but he was an awesome defender. And he looked great in the one summer league game that he played. There's no reason to think he's not going to be the starter in Utah and he's not going to get good minutes. And if what we saw from him in summer league is any indicator of what we can expect, then yeah, he's a top 150 guy. I've got no problem taking him with the last pick of a draft. You got nothing from him last season. You got better than expected three-point production, but otherwise his numbers were all absolutely brutally bad, like horribly bad. I'm going to be interested to see how he goes playing for Australia over these next couple of weeks when he is playing for the Boomers alongside Andrew Bogut and I don't think Joe Ingles was playing, but a couple of other Aussie guys. Paddy Mills is out. Exum should be interesting to see what he does in that. Oh, Dellavedova's playing as well. Exum's a guy that last couple of rounds, the opportunity is going to be there. They're going to start him over Trey Burke. He's going to have the ability to get steals, get threes. If he gets his assists and his rebounds up, and if he attacks to the free throw line like we saw in that summer league game, when he went to the line 10 times and scored those 20 points, that's a big change in what we saw from him last season. I think Dante Exum can have a big season, or big in relativity to what we saw last year. The last guy that I want to talk about is the player picked one spot ahead of Dante Exum last year, and that's Aaron Gordon. Now, he was not good last year. He had that foot issue, but before that, he wasn't all that productive. He ranked 323rd over the course of the season, but we saw in Summer League again that he blew up. He was just destroying guys. His shot looked completely different and just better. It looked good. He looked like a threat. And if he can be a guy who hits a three a game and scores points and gets rebounds and is athletic, he can get steals, he can get blocks, and he actually shot 72% from the free throw line, which is completely different to what we saw from him in college. And all these things add up to me that he has got huge scope to improve. Yeah, he's very limited in his basketball IQ. He's very limited in his maturity levels. But the fact that he improved his free throws, and then coming from his first year to his second year, he improved his three-point shooting, his shooting stroke, his shooting from the field. Everything improved. Channing Frye is a waste of space in Orlando. They shipped out Kylo Quinn. Tobias Harris will have to play some of the four at some point. Aaron Gordon I think he's got his foot in the door to be the starting four, though, for the start of the season. And the things that I thought were maybe going to hold him back in terms of his fantasy value, like his free throw percentage, like his lack of threes, they're not. He could be a guy that, at the ceiling of his career, maybe he's a 15 and 8 guy, 1.8 blocks, a steal, 1.2 threes a game, 46 and 75% shooting. They're really good numbers. I think that I changed my tune on him recently because I thought he was a dud last year. I thought there's not much to see from him, but I really, really like what I've seen with his ability to show that he can work on his deficiencies and improve, and he's done that with a couple of things now, and that's really, really important to me. And I think that he is going to be a guy that, even though he's suffering from a broken jaw at the moment, I think he's going to have some significant value next season. Okay, that's my take on my deep sleepers. Now let's talk some listener questions. R. Nizzle, who's on Twitter at DeWoodman. What season-ended injured player from the 2014 season would you give another shot for the 2015 season? Well, in general, I'm not about writing guys completely off if they had a season-ending injury. Like, if Kobe's there at pick 100, yeah, I'll take him. He won't be. But the obvious ones to me are Kevin Durant. I've got pick 4 in the Red Rock Listener League that I'm in, the Red Rock Listener League Stacey Augman division. I've got pick 4, and I think KD is probably going to be there for me at that pick. And I reckon if he is, I'll probably take him. It's risky, yeah. He might not come back from the foot. He might miss games, and that will kill me at pick 4. But I think that I give him plenty more shots. Carmelo Anthony, he was actually starting to put up big numbers before he selfishly shut it down, and you would have heard my thoughts on him last year. That was an absolute disgrace what he did and what the Knicks did with him last season. It was horrific. The other guy that I'm not worried about at all in terms of injury is Chris Bosh. Now, he missed the remainder of the season with that freak blood clot in his lung. This is not a recurring injury. This is not a situation where, oh yeah, oh, Bosch has gone down again with a blood clot. It's not something where I'm worried about it recurring. He'll be back. He'll be back at full health. He's back at full health now. The Chris Bosh that we saw at the start of last season is probably the Chris Bosh we're going to see next season. So got no issues with him coming back. Yeah, some of these other guys, maybe like Kobe, you're going to knock him down a little. Well, you're definitely going to knock him down, but I don't completely write him off. But KD, Mello, and Bosh doesn't bother me. Maddie on Twitter at Wombats Ramble. Do you think the breakout sleepers from last season, like Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler, can continue to improve or at least back it up? Can they improve? Marginally. They're not going to take as big a leap as they did last season, but I got no reason to think that they shouldn't do exactly the same, if not marginally better than the year before. I think they're pretty safe to continue doing that. Now, Mika Honkasalo, who is going to be a guest on the podcast, he actually tweeted in a question. Not really fantasy related, but that's all right. We can talk that. The Jazz and the Pelicans, how close are they to contender status? Defined vaguely. Yeah, that is defined vaguely. They're not contenders. They're not contenders for a championship in the next 3 years. But you wouldn't be shocked if they took the 7 and 8 seed next season. The Pelicans, I think, are pretty much guaranteed to be in. They're going to be real exciting. They could challenge for a top 4 seed if everything goes right. It's obviously a big if, but they could be one of the surprise teams. And the Jazz are super strong. They probably won't make the playoffs next season, but I think the year after that, they're almost guaranteed a spot the year after that. And I reckon in 2 to 3 years' time, we could see the Pelicans and the Jazz battling for that number one seed in the West. Maybe 3 years' time is probably the right time. Vivek on Twitter at VP90244. What do you project for Myers Leonard? Is he going to have a big role for the Blazers? I mentioned that before. I think he's a great chance, but there are a lot of bodies there. It's a bit worrying. Barry Baker, the podcast question maker on Twitter at BarryBaker8664. You mentioned Jordan Adams in the last podcast. Is he a good pick in the last round for this year's fantasy? What's his value? Barry, in a 12-team league, I'm not probably taking Jordan Adams in the last round. Yeah, the Grizzlies need someone on the wings who can shoot threes, and he can do that, but Dave Yeager showed no predisposition to getting him onto the court at all. And that may continue. I think that in a deeper league, yeah, a 14 or 16 team league, you want to have a look at it. But at this stage, I don't think he's going to be a standard league relevant guy for the whole season. I do like him though. David Tong at David F. Tong on Twitter. He's got a couple of questions. Is there any value in the shallow Nets backcourt? Someone has to put up production. Jarrett Jack is going to be drafted in every single league. He'll probably be drafted inside the top 70 in each league, and I've got no problem with that. He is going to be the starter, and yeah, Joe Johnson will continue to do what he's done in previous seasons. Maybe a little bit better, but Jarrett Jack's going to be the big winner there. And yeah, there's tremendous value there. Again, we've just got to wait and see the ADP numbers to come out though. His other question is there a sleeper on Philly's wing? It's going to be Covington and who else? Jeremy Grant, Jakar Sampson, Sauce Castillo, Nick Stauskas. It's Stauskas for me. I've loved to pick Stauskas in the last couple of rounds of a draft. I think he can have a really, really big impact for the Sixers. It might not work out and then you just get rid of him for somebody else. But at this point, I think that Stauskas is the guy to play the two there. Jeremy Grant's not going to play the two. He's more of a 3-4 sort of guy and he's a decent defender. But it's going to be hard for him to get minutes with Nerlens Noel there. And he might get some in place of Covington. But out of that, Jakar Sampson's just crap, so we don't need to worry about him. Sauce Castillo is the guy to go for, I think, out of those guys. I think he's the sleeper there. Deuces Aguiars. That's a butchering of a name, I apologize. He's on Twitter at NickAnthony_02. What's your preferred shoe brand, Nike or Adidas? Nike all the way. I don't think I own one pair of Adidas shoes, or I've got about 10 pairs of Nikes. Van Burf on Twitter at Van Burf. What's your alcoholic beverage of choice? Okay, it's beer. I basically only drink beer. I don't like wine. I don't really drink spirits. I just drink beer. Do you drink and draft? Not really. I don't really drink all that much. A little bit occasionally, but yeah, very, very rarely. The most unique league buy-in. That's an interesting question. Now, I don't really have an answer for that because any of the leagues I've been in haven't really had unique buy-ins. But if anyone else has had something interesting, please tweet me and tweet Van Burf and tell me what your most unique league buy-ins that you've been a part of or you've witnessed. A couple of questions come through on Facebook as well. Jeff Richard Padre. Josh, do you think Ilyasova will get a starting gig and break out this season? I covered that already, Jeff. Absolutely. And Tom English. Rounds out today's show with his question. What is your day job? Okay, I've mentioned this a few times. Tom, you mustn't have been concentrating those days. But my day job, I am a pharmacist. I'm a pharmacist. Can you make a career doing fantasy stuff online? Yes, but it's hard. Obviously, that's what I would love to do. And, you know, I'm not necessarily getting that way, but I'm trying to get that way. And I can get paid for it, but not enough for a full-time job at this point. But I would really love to get a full-time job out of it. And there are jobs out there. There's not many of them, and you need to make sure you're doing it really, really well, and things will progress. But it is a possibility. It's just for a very, very small percentage of people that it's a possibility. Okay, that's the end of today's podcast. Don't forget to look out next week for myself and Mark Roberts talking rookies. Matt Smith and myself will be putting up our dynasty rankings on the site and then doing a podcast on that. Then there's the podcast with Mika, with Jeff Stotts, and with Danny LaRue coming in the coming weeks as well. And again, if you have any suggestions for podcasts at all, let me know, and or any guests that you want to hear from, or anything in particular that you want happening throughout the show. Don't forget to find me on Twitter at @RedRock_BBall, Facebook.com/RedRockBasketball, Instagram is @RedRock_BBall, and there's also the YouTube channel. If you're watching this on YouTube, hello, I just waved to you. You can always check these out on YouTube as I'm recording them, and you know, chime in and interact with the show as it's happening. Don't forget, actually, this is what you've probably seen me put these up on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram. Over the last couple of days, maybe last week, I've been doing some player comparisons. Who would you draft? Who's going to have the better season? Who do you draft first? And it's been some really interesting results. I'm trying to get some guys who are pretty close in value. Got another nice one for tomorrow. So make sure you check that out on all the social media accounts and chime in and give your opinions on who you think that you would draft out of the two players that I put up, and who's going to have the better season. Follow me on all those social media areas, and don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. If you don't want to donate via PayPal and you want to help the podcast out, leave a review. That's the best non-monetary way that you can help the podcast. It's probably better than even leaving money, because it helps the podcast grow. It gets it up in search engines and iTunes search, and helps with potential sponsors and all that sort of stuff. The more reviews that I get, the better the show grows. So I would appreciate anybody who hasn't done it, please go and leave me a review. It takes 5 minutes, and it's really the best thing you can do to help this show out. That's it for today's podcast, guys. Thank you so much for listening and for watching.